There's got to be more than this.
We have the power to shift the atmosphere over this entire region.
Where there was no song before, now there's a song rising.
We were put on this earth to make right what was wrong.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere.
We have to be in His presence constantly.
Being in the presence of God changes everything.
Our job as worship leaders is to restore a position of God on the earth.
Welcome. This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We're coming to you from the City of Hope, Joplin, Missouri, home of Next Gen Worship, the Unite Worship Gatherings, and a worship movement that's empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. And we are your hosts. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. And we've had a couple of weeks to kind of marinate in what went on at the Uncharted event we had a couple
weeks
ago.
Because the kingdom's like a barbecue. So
yeah, you got to marinate. That's one of Mark Hendrickson's favorite terms, you know.
It is. Yeah, he likes to use that term. But we had an incredible time at Uncharted that was really an experiment for us, kind of going into territory, going off the map. You know, we've heard this saying that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So we're really just getting in community and dreaming and taking these world-changing risks together. And one of those steps for us was having Mark down here, because he really is helping to define language for what's in our hearts. So we got a bunch of people together and we just went for it. We had worship. Really similar to our house fires. Man, it was good. We saw some really big breakthroughs.
Yeah, every time I get around Mark or have the opportunity to hang out with him, not only do I get wrecked, like totally wrecked, but I'm taking notes the whole time.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The guy just knows how to steward the prophetic, and he knows how to rescue a room.
Oh, yeah.
He's really
good at that. That's a good way to put it.
He's good at making it a safe place for everybody to feel comfortable and uninhibited, just free to open their hearts mm-hmm. and really be changed.
Yeah. I love the way Mark does it, because in a setting like that, it's really easy to be in spectator mode, and he doesn't let spectator mode happen.
That's true. He does not.
And he gets everybody involved.
And he doesn't let you get away with just doing your bare minimum. He pushes mm-hmm. you a little bit further, and then he'll push you a little bit further, and then push you a little bit further.
Yeah, he takes it to the next level. But one of the really memorable moments of our time together was with our friend Alicia Rosler, and
Man.
She had an encounter during worship, and we were just sharing, you know, what happened during worship, and she started kind of like explaining this encounter she had. And so Mark's like, well, you know what? Why don't you just get up and act out your encounter, which was talking about unpacking the words that he's spoken in our hearts and the gifts and the callings. So she gets up and she like takes authority in the room and starts prophesying into people's lives going around the room. And it was incredible.
It was. She was on fire. And really, the encouragement that Mark had for her to just move in that and go ahead and give her permission to, that's what people are needing. They're needing permission.
Yeah.
That would have never happened, probably, if he hadn't allowed that or gave permission and said, do this.
Right.
And then people's lives were changed. People got wrecked because of that encounter. Yeah.
Well, we're all about granting permission to move in authority. And that was what Uncharted was all about. And we saw that demonstrated. A defining line, really, for us, a lot of people that were there, stepping into sonship, authority, favor, permission, those kind of things in the kingdom.
And then on Saturday night, the worship was just phenomenal. Nick and Ashley Smith brought their team, and Josh Bussey and Zach Rosler and Will Brown.
We realized there was six different churches in the band.
Isn't that awesome?
Which I thought was so cool. It's such a perfect picture of the unity that God's been growing and developing in the area. And they were so tight. I was so impressed. I would rather sit under this worship than go to a concert. It was powerful.
Yeah.
They carried an authority for our area.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So it was a great event. We're looking for more to come, looking to bring Mark back into our region once again in the near future. And lots of great things going on this summer. If you want to find out anything that's going on in our region, go to nextgenworship.com. Next week, we're going to be talking with Caleb and Aaron Paxton, local worship leaders right here in our own community, talking about removing the line between sacred and secular.
I love this.
We might make
that's
a few religious people
fun.
Mad, but it's going to be fun. Today, we're talking about resourcing the local church. Later on in the show, we'll be interviewing Dave Ware from Hillsong Worship.
Dave Ware, coming in.
You don't want to miss it. Stick around. More to come.
Hi, I'm Tom Rutolo, and I'd like to invite you to experience Power and Love.
So it's kind of awesome, because at Power and Love, we train and teach people in their identity in such an amazing way that when people leave here, they've become the reality of what we teach.
And I was like, no, check your shoulder, see if it's any better. And she started feeling her shoulder, and it's all gone. That's it. It's all gone. Wow, really? And I said, praise Jesus. And she goes, thank you, Jesus.
And she looks me in the eyes and she says, the pain's gone. It's gone. It's totally gone.
And we laid hands on him, and he got up, and he was like, yeah, it feels better.
Next Gen Worship is honored to co-sponsor the 2016 Four States School of Power and Love with Maddie Montgomery, Todd White, Tom Rutolo, and Jeremiah Gruce, May 25th through 28th, held at Victory Ministry and Sports Complex. To register or find out more information, go to powerandlove.org.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Well, we are empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Boom.
Next week, we're going to be talking about removing the line between sacred and secular.
That's so fun.
I know.
Isn't it great? I'm excited.
Some people just went,
what do they mean?
Let's destroy the Christian industry.
Oh,
wow.
But let's destroy the popular industry as well. And let's create out of a heart that is inspired by the living God.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a big teaser. I guess you'll have to tune in and see what that's all about.
And we'll be interviewing Caleb and Aaron Paxton.
Yay. Yeah,
local worship leaders. Incredible couple.
They are so cool.
Yeah.
I want to be their best friends.
I know. Mm-hmm. I want to carry their Bible.
I just
want to...
I just want to stand next to them and hope some of their coolness rubs off on me.
They're like cool automatic, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like the standard for cool stuff.
All right, today we're talking with, a little bit later in the show, Dave Ware from Hillsong Worship. Mm-hmm. And our topic of discussion is resourcing the local church.
I love this topic. And we haven't actually hit this topic yet, which is so crazy because we've all been serving in a local church, us, Haley, for over 20 years. Josh, you grew up serving your whole life, I guess. I don't know. You keep telling me stories from when you were six or whatever. So.
Josh was born in the local church.
But here's the deal about resourcing the local church. Each generation has a God mandate, and we must release these things into the earth in ways that are consumable. So that means things we read, things we listen to, and things we watch. And that means that we're actually, you know, beginning to take responsibility to become producers and not just consumers.
And we kind of always had this in the back of our minds as a community, but it's really kind of taken on an urgency here within the last few weeks of songwriting and really telling our story just here in our own region. Yeah. And resourcing our local bodies with songs and with language and with vision. So many people depend on a pastor or a leader or two to kind of carry that. Mm-hmm. But I believe God is calling his people as a whole to carry that.
There's some really great resources out there already, but here's a thought that never occurred to me while we were spending all of our time in ministry, that if I was frustrated or felt like there needed to be something different, it never occurred to me that I could be the person to create that resource.
Yeah.
Like, it just never occurred to me. It never dawned on me that I might have something inside me that was worth sharing with everyone else. And I wonder how many people are out there with these things inside of them that could potentially change the way we do church. They kind of disqualify themselves.
Well, just think about how much more power it carries. I mean, how many times as a worship leader have you sang a song from whatever resource and it didn't quite say it the way that it was moving in our region? It wasn't quite telling the story. In fact, I've even taken popular worship songs and changed the words because it tells our story a little bit better. It tells it a little bit more accurately. How much more power does it carry whenever you birth something from your community for your community?
Yeah.
Well, we say it all the time, but we want our ceiling to be the next generation's floor. And part of building that dynamic is stewarding the things that Holy Spirit is actually speaking to us. So we want to produce things that carry that encounter that we're having right now with the Holy Spirit. And resourcing local church is everything to do with stewarding encounters and becoming chroniclers of heaven's activity on the earth. And I think that's what you're talking about, Josh.
And I know that the Lord, he's going to operate differently in different areas depending on what is needed. You know,
as he
begins to move in people's hearts in different regions, he may be moving in different areas because the personality of that area is different or the need in that area is greater over here than it is over there. So it is more of an accurate depiction of God's movement within the earth mm-hmm. if it's coming out of the same place that you're serving in.
Yeah. I like to think of it like, you know, we see a person and we say, oh, they really carry this. They carry healing. They carry joy. There's a personality of Jesus that they're really owning. And I see that for a region too. And we're exploring that as a community, as a city, as a region. What do we carry that's unique from heaven? Like, what if our region had, like, what if God said over our region, you are this?
We're seeing that in our community. We're seeing people writing about unity and identity.
Yeah.
And these are some of the things that we're carrying very heavily right now. It's like, it is who we are. It's our personality. And the Lord is doing this great work of unification within the body of Christ right here in our region. I know he's doing it in other places as well. You know, we hear stories about people that got this fire under them, but they're having a hard time connecting with their community. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's a real grace on Joplin and surrounding area right now for unity.
Yeah.
I believe that that's the story of our area. You know, you think about the tornado and how the community really came together and how it was just mind-blowing to FEMA people that it happened so quickly and so
easily. You are not needed here. Go back home.
Yeah. And I believe that unity is like the story of our area. And even after we're long gone from the earth, the generations behind us will still be contributing to that story.
You know, I had an epiphany about 3 years ago, and it goes like this. I was thinking about, you know, how can we influence our area? How can we see our area change? And I'm like, thinking about all the, in my mind, just processing, how can we invite, who can we invite to come in and change this? And then the Lord was like, you know what? They're going to come in and then they're going to leave and you're still going to be here.
Yeah.
Why don't you take responsibility?
That's good. And you know, we're looking right now, today is the fifth anniversary of the tornado coming through Joplin.
Wow.
And you just see just in the past 5 years, what God has done. I mean, you guys left several years ago and came back right after the tornado.
Right.
Yeah.
And you left a community that's completely different than the community you came back to.
It is totally different.
So true.
And so the 5 years from then until now, we have seen not only a community come together, but we have seen the Lord move in a way in the body of Christ that has not only added to us, but has solidified and glued us together even stronger and more of a unit than ever before.
Yeah. So I think recognizing that your area or your region or your community has a story is a huge part. Here's a conversation I have regularly with worship leaders outside of our area. They are amazed to see not only worship leaders and churches coming together like they do every month here in our region, but they're also amazed to see that there's like a calling on our entire city or our entire region.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times these guys are not even thinking outside of their own church. They think outreach or whatever, but it's always to build back into their own church. And we're going, you know, that's awesome, and we're not going to stop doing that, but we're going also, okay, there's something else. There's something extra that's part of our story, and that's what God is doing in our region.
It boils down to the spirit of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord has placed in us a spirit of freedom. The walls have come down, and it's not this gathering in. It's more of a going out, and we're just pouring ourselves out.
Yeah.
But as we steward these things several times a month, the Lord is just pouring into us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we're all creatives and songwriters and musicians and worship pastors. So a lot of the things that we're talking about stewarding is creativity and songs. So I was thinking about this morning. What if we could actually write songs out of our now experience with good theology about identity and really who God is as our Father? What if we could release those songs and they could influence the church for the next 100 years? Because we're singing right now a lot of songs that are really old. You know, some of them 30, 40 years old, contemporary songs, some even older, some close to 100 years old that have passed the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And what if we could begin to do that? We always rely on everyone else, right? Mm-hmm. In your mind, you just kind of rely.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus Culture is going to do that, or Hillsong is going to do that, or Bethel, or Gateway, or Elevation Worship, or whatever. But no, we are called to tell our own story and to chronicle that story and to put it in a consumable form, which means I can read it, I can listen to it, or I can watch it. What things could be done in film and media that influence the world in the next coming generations? What things could be done in song to influence the world in the coming generations? What things can we write that can be passed down to make our ceiling the next generation's floor?
Well, the fact of the matter is, whatever we do produce is going to be sung, is going to be watched for generations to come. It's just a matter of, are we going to produce something?
Yeah, yeah. And I think another way to say this, we use the word chronicling and stewarding. This is discipleship. This is life on life discipleship. What do you think of when you think of discipleship? Like somebody teaching and you going yes and taking notes. Okay. This is life on... That's awesome. This is life on life. And resourcing the local church is equipping disciples in their heaven on earth mandate.
Yeah.
That mandate is not going to go away. It's only going to get stronger as we establish a stronghold of heaven in this earth. So obviously this is a huge part of our story. And everyone that's listening, how's God speaking to you to take responsibility for resourcing your local church, resourcing the local churches in your region?
Well, I think you hit on a good point, and I would love to spend a little more time on it, maybe even do another show on it. But the resources that are the most vital and the most effective are those that God has placed inside of us.
That's true.
And whenever we disciple, we wake those up. It's better than any song. It's better than anything because we're equipping people.
Yeah, it's incredible.
We'll talk more about that coming up here. Resourcing the local church. We'll be talking with Dave Ware from Hillsong Worship. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Tom Rutolo, and I'd like to invite you to experience Power and Love.
So it's kind of awesome because at Power and Love, we train and teach people in their identity in such an amazing way that when people leave here, they've become the reality of what we teach.
I was like, no, check your shoulder. See if it's any better. And she started feeling her shoulder and it's all gone. That's it. It's all gone. Wow, really? And I said, praise Jesus. And she goes, thank you, Jesus.
And she looks me in the eyes and she says, the pain's gone. It's gone. It's totally gone.
And we laid hands on him and he got up and he was like, yeah, it feels better.
Next Gen Worship is honored to co-sponsor the 2016 Four States School of Power and Love with Maddie Montgomery, Todd White, Tom Rutolo, and Jeremiah Gruce, May 25th through 28th, held at Victory Ministry and Sports Complex. To register or find out more information, go to powerandlove.org.
I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. I am full of goodness. I am a citizen of heaven, for the Lord Jesus Christ lives.
Next Gen Worship is starting a social experiment, and we want you to be a part of it. It's called Hashtag Identity. Tell us who you are in Christ on your social media profile with the hashtag Next Gen Identity, and you could win some free swag from Next Gen Worship.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We're empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. We're doing that by interviewing influential voices all over the world. And it's been really an incredible experience to be a part of what God is doing, not only in our own region, but in regions across the globe. The Spirit of God is moving throughout the earth. And we're going to be talking with some people right here in our own backyard, Caleb and Aaron Paxton, next week about erasing that line between sacred and secular. It's a very interesting topic. You definitely don't want to miss that show. Today we're talking about the topic of resourcing the local church. And we do that locally, but we also want to be producers that resource generations to come. Someone who's done that very well, Hillsong. And they've done that through Hillsong Worship, Hillsong United, Young and Free. They have church resources and worship resources that are countless. And we were fortunate enough to sit down with Dave Ware a couple weeks ago, and we have that interview for you right now.
All right, Dave, thanks for joining us. We would love to talk about your heart as a worship leader and some of the different stuff that you've been a part of with Hillsong Worship. So real quick, just kind of give us a background. Like, tell us your story a little bit.
Yeah, I was raised in New Zealand, two little islands south of Australia.
Wait, New Zealand?
Yeah, that's
where I've got a friend from New Zealand. This is wonderful. Okay, we're family.
Connection, like it. I was raised there in a pastor's house, but was raised in a pretty rough neighborhood, and so never really grew up loving the church or knowing God for myself. And then as years went on, we moved to Australia, for the most part Sydney. And when I was about 17 and a half, I had this like radical encounter with Jesus. I was actually like super depressed, made a ton of mistakes as a teenager through my childhood, you know, suffered abuse and the guy that got beaten up, you know, my friends jumped me at one point, like things just kind of weren't going well for me and it kind of caught up with me when I was 17. And so I was wanting to end my life and God really intervened like in a crazy way. And so I took it as a sign, you know, that I need to be following and pursuing Jesus, and then had the revelation that he had not stopped pursuing me. And so all I had to do was turn around and just kind of fall into his arms, you know, and I was pretty broken. And so for the last 12 years, have just been living out that journey with Jesus, letting him, you know, change me from the inside out, make me more whole, more new every day.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's been good.
So give us an inside look, your relationship inside the Hillsong family. Tell us about that experience, what it's like to be a part of that community.
Yeah. I mean, I was one of those guys that when I did come to Christ, I wasn't part of the Hillsong family. I was very much from another church and was, you know, kind of a fanboy, to be honest. I loved the music, loved Hillsong United, loved Hillsong Worship, Ruben and Dars and people like that.
Yeah.
And then once we became part of Hillsong, getting to know these people, from the outside, it's so easy to, you know, you see them on stages and on screens and whatnot, and it just kind of feels kind of surreal, almost like celebrity, right?
Right.
And then once you're on the inside of it, it spins you out because you realize these people are just everyday people that want to build the church. And for the most part, every single person that you see on platform, even tonight, we all have roles back home. And so I'm a worship pastor back in Sydney, over a campus. Ben Fielding, his role is overseeing songs and songwriters and discipling them. And so everyone that you see on platform back home, they've got a responsibility to build the church. We're not just people that jump up on stage, but our heart and our lifestyle and our calling is to build God's church.
Yeah, love it, love it. What has the outcry experience been like for you?
I think for me, it's been amazing because I think when you're part of a large church like ours, you can kind of get stuck in the bubble a little bit. And apart from people that would come to our conferences, we don't really have a lot of space to get to know people, you know, like the people that are with us. You know, we're very close friends with Carrie and with people like Jesus Culture and Martin Smith over the years. But then you spend a whole month with those people.
Yeah.
And then you realize they're doing the exact same thing that you've committed your life to. And so there's this camaraderie.
Right.
And so one of my favorite moments every night is we gather in the green room for a prayer meeting.
Yes.
And someone will bring it, you know, like a devotion. And it's like one of the realest kind of, let's break it down. We're not here as artists, as, you know, people like to call us.
Right.
We're not here as worship leaders or musicians. We're here as just people that love Jesus. And for about half an hour, we sing together. Someone shares a thought. We talk about Jesus. And we just leave encouraged and amped, you know, to really do the night and do it well.
Yeah.
And I guess that'd be something that I never expected. I thought it would have been like a normal kind of a festival vibe, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's so much, you know, where Jesus is put at the center of this whole thing, and it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about a recent project from Hillsong, Open Heaven, River Wild. Talk about your role in that and maybe your favorite song off the project. Just open your heart a little bit and share that with us.
I mean, I got to sing a song called Jesus, I Need You. I don't have a say over who leads the songs. Like, we get told, you know, you're going to lead the song.
Right.
So it was funny because two of my close friends, Brooke and Scotty Ledgerwood, Brooke Fraser, as people might know,
Okay.
You know, they co-wrote the song, and it was special because I secretly on the inside, I was like, I love this song. Like, you're basically just saying, I need you, you know, Jesus, I need you. And that was on the album night, but the album process starts, you know, a year before that, where our songwriters, Ben Fielding, who oversees that, they'll start introducing songs into church. And basically the songs that don't fly in church don't make it onto any albums.
Yeah.
Because we're here to resource churches, not make great music. Just great music.
Say that again.
Well, we're not here to make albums. We're here to resource churches with worship. And we're here to teach people theology and teach people the love of Jesus through song and allow them to, you know, articulate their love for him in maybe ways that they can't do on their own. I'm actually not one of the writers on the album, and I know that I cry often during, you know, some of those songs. Marty Sampson led a song called Oh Praise the Name, and I get to lead that song on tour, and every single night, there comes a point where it says, you know, he shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun, you know, and it just talks about the return of Jesus, and you can hear people singing it, and you're like, this is the closest we will get now to that day when he returns, when every believer across the earth will go, there he is, oh look, he's coming, you know. And so I always get like emotional at that point, because I'm like, this is the closest we're going to get to the day when he comes back, is 20,000 people singing about his return.
The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. I mean, like, it's a... there's a relief because, you know, God's got you, and wherever you fall short, you know, he gives you the grace to carry on. But at the same time, the pressure to steward it well and to steward your life well and to be a champion of what Jesus said he would build, which is his church. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it gets tiring sometimes, but it's the best thing. I would never change it for anything.
Yeah. Well, let's look forward. Let's talk about the dreams of your heart. I mean, what's in there? What's the big stuff in there that you're really dreaming about?
I mean... I'm a husband. I have two kids, two sons, and they're the most beautiful children on the planet. And I think, I mean, like, I'm not a really ambitious guy. Okay. And so I would have to say, like, if I get to raise my two kids in the ways of God and get to see them flourish and fulfill all that God's called them to be, I feel like, hands down, my job's done. Mm. In terms of what I love to do, I love making music. I love worship music, but I also love other genres, and I've been committing a bit of time in my spare time to make different kinds of music.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of exciting, and definitely is like, some people go fishing, some people like skateboard, right. And I have a little studio at home where I spend most of my, you know, it's a bit of a man cave down there. But so I think for the future, I just want to be able to keep doing that.
Awesome. Well, this is a show that's listened to by worship leaders, singers, musicians, ministry-minded people. Would you mind just praying over them and just imparting your heart? I love your heart, by the way, for worship, and you said some great stuff. So would you mind just praying over them and just releasing something great over them?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord God, I just pray for every person listening to this right now, more than anything, for them to know that your face is towards them, that your grace is upon them, and that your love is towards them, and that you have empowered them and you have equipped them for everything that you have called them to, God. And right now, God, some people need to step off the boat in some decisions in their life. Other people need to find safety in your arms. Others just need to meet you regardless. They just need you. They need an encounter with you, Lord Jesus. And right now, I pray, whatever the situation or the circumstance, that you would be their God in the mountaintops, but you would also be their God in the valleys. And that their revelation of you is that you never change. You are always the same. You always love them. You always give them grace, and that your mercies are new every single morning. Every blessing and every favor be on anyone who is listening right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Awesome. Dave, your heart is gold. We love you, and we just speak blessing over you and creativity all of your future music endeavors.
I appreciate that. It's amazing. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure to have Dave Ware from Hillsong Worship on the show with us today. Looking forward to talking to some more influential people next week with Caleb and Aaron Paxton as we erase the line between sacred and secular. You don't want to miss it.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. To join us in our journey and find out more information about how you can get involved, please visit nextgenworship.com.
Nextgenworship.com.
Please tune in next week at the same time as we discuss what's on the Father's heart for our generation.